welcome back, and thank you for listening to Wrecking and Racing, the NASCAR Fans Podcast, with host Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to the second episode of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, and my co-host is Lugs.
How's it going, everybody?
So this week we're going to recap Martinsville, and it was one of our favorite short tracks. Short tracks, definitely need more of them on the schedule. Start off with the official beer of NASCAR, Busch Light. I got to enjoy my Busch Light during this episode. Helps me get through the episode and makes it a little bit more entertaining for you guys, I hope, because I'm pretty dry otherwise. So, Lugs, Martinsville, before we even get into the race, the craziest thing happened.
Snow.
What the heck? Who would have thought snow?
Yeah, I don't know. The day before, they were saying there was going to be snow overnight, but they kind of downplayed it, I think, and then, you know, they ended up, delaying it overall. So, I don't think too many people really expected that. I think they downplayed it too much, and then, you know, it came out to be a little unexpected.
Yeah, definitely is an interesting sight to see. I don't like postponed races most of the time, but this case I'll take it.
Seeing
the picture, they made a very serene and kind of pretty facade along the pictures you see in Martinsville.
That's true.
At least I thought so. Snow around is pretty, as long as you don't drive in it, right?
I guess. Makes it hard in a stock car, at least.
Yeah. You know, they put the rain tires on occasionally, right? On road courses?
Yeah.
Why not get snow tires?
Yeah, right. Put chains on it.
Yeah, there we go. That may tear the hell out of the track, but they're going to repave it anyway, right? Sometime? And what about the trucks? They could put,
It's a little more suiting.
Yeah. It'd definitely be a fun see. I think it'd kind of remind everybody of kind of Eldora and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
put some winches on there, give them some toe straps, and
sure.
let them have at it.
Yeah, definitely be something really fun to see, and I think a lot of people would pay money to see that, actually. So maybe something NASCAR should think of. Steve O'Donnell, once again, you can email us at wreckingracing@gmail.com. A couple things to go over with on the snow. Do you know when the last time it snowed? Postpone a race?
I don't. I know a couple, it's probably been 10 years ago, Kurt Busch won it. It was, I think they had some delays maybe back at Bristol. What was that? Maybe like, 4, 5, 6. I don't even know what year. I just know it was mid-2000s. And I don't even know if it was delayed. It may have been actually on a Sunday, but I remember it being really cold at Bristol and they had a few delays. But that's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Well, I actually may be a statistician this week, and I actually looked up a couple of facts.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Yeah, so the last snow-delayed race, or snow-postponed race, was in 1993 at Atlanta. And I did not look up who won that, so that is a fault on my side. So I'm only providing you half the facts, folks. I'm sorry about that. So this race, I had high hopes, high anticipations, being a short track. And we love our short tracks because of the action.
Of some carnage.
Yeah. So going into Martinsville, one thing came to mind. What happened last year in Martinsville?
Oh, yeah. Chase and Hamlin.
Yeah. So Hamlin was bumping Chase, wrecked him. Chase, after the race, basically put Hamlin in the wall. Little words were said after the race.
Post-race confrontation, altercation, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's what we like to see at Martinsville. And that's kind of what we're expected to see. What did you see during the race?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I mean, we had, I think, a total of 4 cautions the entire race, and two of those were for stages.
Yeah, and the other one was a competition caution. So
yes.
At least one caution for an on-track incident.
And I think that was between, Dylan and McMurray?
Yes,
making
McMurray.
Contact. So
right.
A little lackluster in that department.
Hell, the pits was more exciting than the race was, I think.
That's true.
Harvick and Almirola getting into it. It was very tight quarters. So, other than the lack of wrecks and what we would expect out of Martinsville, what else did you see?
There's a little animosity between Harvick and Hamlin. I guess they got into it a little bit, so that was interesting. I guess Harvick brake checked Hamlin.
But was it truly a brake check? Harvick said he just made sure his car is under control.
Let's be honest. We all know what that really was.
Yeah. You know what? I actually liked that move a lot. I do it on the highway all the time, so I do condone that, yes.
You do or don't?
I do. I do. I use that method myself. So
that was the gas man that was saying that, just for the
record. Of course it was.
So what else did you see at Martinsville?
So other things I seen was, once again, Ford's kind of stole the show. You had Stewart, Haas, I think all four of their cars were in the top 14. Penske, all their cars were in the top 10, 11. Yeah, top 10, it looks like. So we had, obviously, Bowyer won it, Harvick 5th, Kurt Busch 11th, and Eric was 14th of the Stewart Haas cars. And out of the Penske Fords, it was Blaney 3rd, Logano 6th, and Keselowski 10th. That does not leave a whole lot of room for Chevys and Toyotas, and this season's kind of looking like that. Very sad for the other manufacturers.
Ford's got a stranglehold at the moment, that's for sure. I think it's going to change, though. I think it'll change eventually. I mean, Toyotas are there. They're consistent. They're there if anybody in it, you know, Harvick or the Fords make a mistake. But Chevys, again, they were kind of out to lunch. I think Bowman was 7th and Chase was 9th. And I think, well, Allmendinger was 8th. So we had 3 Chevys in the top 10, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
So they were there. They just, they never were a contender, though.
Yeah, only 2 Toyotas. And that was Kyle Busch.
2nd.
Yeah, bridesmaid again, and then
another dress.
Yeah, another dress for Kyle. I bet he wears them very well. And then Truex, who's, you know, perennial every race top 5 candidate. Just consistent. So
what about you know, something we're gonna do every race in hindsight is kind of review move of the race. What did you think your the move of the race was? I'll tell you what mine is. Easily Bowyer on that last restart taking the lead on the outside.
Yeah, I would kind of almost say the pits as well, with Bowyer being strong in the pits, getting out to be in a contention to get first place. Mm-hmm. I think that's strong. And Eric Almirola struggled a little bit in the beginning because he got a confrontation. He gets sped down pit lane. He got a confrontation with Harvick. Not really a confrontation, but him and Harvick got together on pit lane, but he still rebounded and finished 11th. Or excuse me, 14th, I apologize. So that's a pretty good day for him, especially because there's only like 14 cars on a lead lap,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, especially, you know, having an incident, yeah.
Yeah. So with the lack of cautions being in Martinsville, is this a prime example of stages working out for the benefit of the fans?
I don't necessarily think I would paint it as a benefit for the fans. I think one of the reasons they come to Martinsville is for the cautions, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And without the stage wins, there would have been 1 caution.
Oh, true. I guess. Yeah, I guess I could see it that way.
So what I was getting to was bunching the cars back up, allow for a little bit more competition. Because if it had just ran the way it ran without those cautions, without those stage wins, how many cars have been on the lead lap? 5?
Yeah, but I mean, we didn't see those cautions breeding any cautions. I mean, I think the last half of the race pretty much was completely green. You know, that third segment was most of that was green, other than that altercation with Dillon and McMurray. It went green from there on, from that caution. So
to me, it was actually kind of a disappointing Martinsville race, as I was expecting a little bit more action.
It was.
Fireworks. And
I heard a couple of this topic on a couple other media channels. You know, could you blame it on the fact that it's a Monday race and everybody's just kind of there biding their time, logging laps and ready to get out and move on to the next race?
I can see that to an extent, but I think the competitors built inside of each one of these drivers may overshadow that a bit. I think their competitive spirit would come out a little bit more, I think, than to allow them just kind of dialed in since it's a Monday race. But you never know. Some of them might be, especially the back of the pack cars.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about back of the pack cars. Is there anybody standing out to you this year that's having a good season that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, I'll be honest. I didn't expect Bowyer to come out as a, you know, he wasn't a favorite going into Martinsville, and he came out with a victory. So that was surprising to me. That was a big takeaway for Martinsville for me. I mean,
definitely a popular victory. I think everybody can get behind
Absolutely, Bowyer. Absolutely. I don't think there was anybody that didn't want to see Bowyer win it, because, I mean, his last win was, what, 5 years ago?
Right.
So that was good on his part. Good for him. 190
races.
Yeah. So good for him. But again, Bowyer wouldn't have been in. You know, I could have picked 10 other drivers that I thought would have won it before Bowyer. So good for him. Maybe he's going to start warming up. He's going to maybe join his teammate Harvick and get some more wins here shortly.
I can definitely see it being a Stewart Haas.
I mean, you know, Haas is definitely stable. got the mojo right now. That's right. For sure.
But good congratulations, Clint. If you're listening, please email us wreckingandracing@gmail.com. We'd love to talk to you, talk about this victory. You're definitely a, I don't want to use the term people's champion because that was coined for Chase Elliott last year when he put Hamlin in the wall at Martinsville, but you're our champion, the fans' champion. How about that? So, again. So
bringing that up, Gasman, what do you think about that? You think Chase and Hamlin will reignite that feud at any point this year?
I hope so. I don't have any faith.
Don't think so.
I think, yeah. I think Chase is one to mature quickly over incidents. Maybe not Hamlin so much. Hamlin's kind of a little diva at times.
I agree.
But Chase, I think, is a bit more of a calm, cool-mannered, you know, to himself kind of guy. So,
although he did dish it back to him at Phoenix end of the last year, that was pretty exciting to see him, you know, give it back to him at Phoenix. But yeah, switching gears here a little bit. One more thing on Martinsville. I had some lug nut penalties come out. Did you hear about that?
I did, a couple of them. Not really shockers, because something you hear every week. But what you tell us about those penalties were?
Let's see, we had Larson, Ryan Blaney, Austin Dillon, and Michael McDowell all had unsecured lug nuts found post-race.
So what was the penalty?
I think it was $10,000 fine on the crew chiefs. Don't quote me on that. I'm not the statistician like you. So.
No, I think you're right on that. I think it was $10,000. Nothing, no suspensions or anything.
Drop in the bucket for them.
Yeah, no kidding. And the teams will pay it for them. So, once again, we're hearing that every week. Now, one thing I didn't hear this week, and maybe I just didn't see it or hear about it, that I've heard in other weeks, issues with pit guns, the impact guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, if for the fans that do not know, previously to this year, teams were responsible for their own air guns to use on pit road to help level the competition.
Didn't Suarez have one break, or was that the week before last?
I think the week before last.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's happened to Suarez twice this season already.
It's been a pretty consistent issue. So if there wasn't any issues, that's the first time I think maybe this season. You know,
right? I'm sure it was. Maybe we just didn't hear about it. Yeah. So again, fans, this year all air guns are supplied by NASCAR itself to help level the playing field, and there has been controversy as a NASCAR-equipped component fails, causing valuable time in the pits. And I can't really blame the teams. You know, in the past, they were responsible for their own. So if it failed, that was all on them. You know, but they were the more money-value teams, Hendrick, etc., were able to benefit because they were able to buy and engineer better
insanely
equipment.
Insanely expensive. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
More competitive. So yeah, it does level the playing field, but then you have this issue now where maybe there's not as much R&D done on these guns and you've got these failures. And of course, you know, the teams have every right to be miffed if they're using a supplied gun and you know, there's some sort of defect. And then, you know, what if Suarez was contending for a win, you know, last pit stop, you say they're coming in five to go, come in for a quick pit stop, you got the lead, and then literally, I think they said last week that the air gun broke in half. I think I read somewhere. I mean, that's a.
I know it broke. I don't know the details of the breakage.
But regardless, there was an issue, right? And I mean, it took it. You know, what if that took a contender out?
Right, right.
Out of contention. So
sure. Yeah, I understand that completely, and it is unfortunate for the teams have to go through this learning curve upon NASCAR's request for this new system that they have in place. I understand the premise behind it. I'm not 100% sold on it actually doing a whole lot competition-wise. Mm-hmm. Rookies, between Byron, I think Byron finished 20th and Bubba finished 34th.
Yes.
Disappointment, expected. What's your thoughts on that?
Martinsville is not an easy track. I mean, they're rookies, right? First time coming there for, well, I mean, Bubba actually won there, I think, in the trucks in the past, but in a cup car, right? It's no easy feat. You got a lot more horsepower and a lot more competitive teams, and you know, Martinsville's a difficult track. We'll just put it that way. So that doesn't surprise me. I think Bubba had some sort of an issue. He had a...
He sped, I know, at least.
He did have a speeding penalty, but he also had some sort of mechanical issue.
Okay.
And he ended up, I think he was like 14 laps down.
Yeah.
Due to that. They actually had to, I think they broke a sway bar, had to go behind pit road and fix that. And
sure.
They lost a lot of time. So yeah. Had it not been for that, I'd be curious to know where he would have shooken out. But nonetheless, I liked his STP paint scheme this weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty sharp car.
Looked good. Looked very
absolutely
good. So,
and I think I don't want to say that they're underachieving because they're not. I think what Byron and Wallace has been doing so far has been right on par to what they should be doing. They're both learning rookie season, and they can't have come out with expectations of pulling a Harvick and winning his third race, second race.
And I don't think 20th for a rookie. I mean, William coming home 20th.
That's not bad,
that's not bad. I mean, I think it was two laps down, but geez, I mean, anybody could go a lap down easily at Martinsville. So,
So one thing I seen that was kind of funny this week is I seen a tweet by Twitter by Dale Jr. to Alex Bowman, and it was chatter between the two, and it was actually a text. That's what it was. That Bowman posted it was a text. Junior sent him a text and, hey, you know, you finished 7th. Good job for a rookie. And Bowman's like, man, this is my 5th time racing here.
Yeah,
I'm not a rookie.
I'm not a rookie.
And he's like, even Dale Jr. forgets I'm not a rookie. So
yeah,
Bowman he's experienced, but he's not overly experienced.
Yeah, I think he can justifiably, however you want to look at it, gets that rookie label. People forget that, you know, he's made some cup starts before. It's just been a few years, so.
And he last season he was the simulator racer for Hendrick, mm-hmm. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So if you guys want to know how a simulator works, watch Cars 3. I watched that recently with my daughter, and that's what the whole movie is basically about. It's a simulator within the NASCAR and how the NASCAR industry has changed, essentially. Pretty good movie. Kind of shocked at how decent it was. So Bowyer ends a 190 race winless streak.
Mm-hmm.
Cash, his little boy.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a little heartfelt and kind of real neat seeing that?
Seeing him run down the front stretch. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, quick though, talking about a long-term, you know, winless streak coming to an end, 190 races. Who's the next driver that snaps a winless streak, a big winless streak like that?
Oh, that's a good question. You're really making my mind spin on this one now. So who do we have to choose from? Let's see. How long has it been since Johnson's won? About 20 races?
I think it was Texas last year that he got his last win. So that'd be, what, 36 races
ago? Roughly, yeah. Okay.
So, but now I wouldn't consider that a long... I mean,
for Johnson,
by his standards, yes. But
let's see. Newman got a win last year.
I mean, Almirola won, what, a rain-shortened Daytona race in, what, 2013 or something like that? So a long time for him. I know he'd like to get back to victory lane.
And I could see that. I mean, their Stuart Haas is just... All drivers are contending right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I apologize for my
Logano,
delay.
Probably.
Here.
I mean, by his standards.
You know, yeah, that's true. Man, you know who here is a person I would like to see? Allmendinger.
Yeah.
You know, I always make fun of his name saying I'm a dinger, but I really do like AJ. I think he has showed potential. Unfortunately, the circumstances that happened with the Adderall, et cetera, that happened in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
kind of hindered his career and put him back a little bit. But he's making Daugherty's team look pretty decent. I mean,
yeah.
He's having a decent, definitely a little bit better than mid-pack.
Right. What about Paul Menard? Last win for him was 2011 Brickyard, which
we were shocked.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I like Paul. He's always been a kind of... unfortunately, some people feel that his daddy buys his way in the Cup Series, but I think he's talented enough to stay in it. I like Paul Menard, and you know what?
The reason I say unfortunately is because, obviously, I was a Gordon fan, and that came down to a strategy, pit call there. It was not the most exciting race, and it came down to fuel mileage, and Gordon had fuel and tires, and Menard played the... gambling game, and he ended up winning it, and I was really hoping Gordon was going to get his fifth Brickyard that year. Ultimately, he did. It was just 3 years later. But, you know, I still am a little sour about it.
Yeah, and this is what I remember from the race. I remember drinking a lot. I remember Menard winning. I remember our asses getting sunburned like crazy. I don't mean like a literal ass, but our bodies. It was, I felt like it was 110 degrees that day. It was
it usually is. So
I mean, it was horribly hot.
It'll be interesting. They moved that race to September this year, so be interesting. Different weather pattern, hopefully,
right,
maybe not
right.
So hot. So
right. So I'm talking about, you know, changing the race schedule, et cetera. I'm sorry to kind of interrupt here, kind of take us off topic for a second, but what do you think about that whole Roval thing?
I'm a fan.
You like road courses.
I don't mind them. Yeah, I think they're exciting. You know, I've went to the Charlotte race multiple times, the fall one. I've never been to the Coke 600 in the spring, but I've been to the October race a few times. And, you know, now that they moved it today, you know, a couple years ago. So it's a Sunday afternoon, you know, typical Sunday afternoon race. And I don't know, it's just been kind of lackluster. So I'm excited to see them take on the Roval and see what happens there. I know I think NASCAR's got some challenges ahead of them on that. They're already getting some pretty stern criticism.
Who was it
criticism.
The other day that tested and complained? Was it Bush?
Bush, okay. Yeah, he was criticizing some angles.
He cries a lot anyway, right?
He was.
That was the gas man. I did say that.
He was criticizing some of the, angles of the wall and the potential hits that could be taken there. Which, I mean, that guy, you know, hit a wall head on at Daytona and broke his leg. So I can't, I guess, exactly fault him for thinking that way. But, you know, we'll see how that race shakes out. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think it's positive that NASCAR's making some changes. I hear a lot. People want to see more road courses and they want to see more short races. And so I think this is a step in kind of appeasing the fans and testing the waters. If it doesn't work, then you know what? They can always go back to the standard layout, right?
Yeah, very true. And they could. So if they're listening to the fans and the fans' perspective, there is a major, major push. If you're on Twitter, you'll see a lot of drivers tweet it and stuff about more short tracks. Do you think we'll see that in the near future?
More short tracks?
Yes.
I don't know. I really don't know. I just don't see it. So many, I think they have these
another Bush Light
current. I think they have these current tracks on lockdown through, I think, 2022, last I read. And that's, again, don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but I want to see that. They said not to expect any substantial, you know, moving around or additions or subtractions, at least until 2022, because that's when the contracts with ISC and everybody and so we'll see if anything happens after that. I think if it's going to happen, I think it'll be then. But what about the Cup or Xfinity going dirt track racing? What do you think about that? Maybe going to Eldora?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah. I don't see it happening, though.
I don't either.
I don't think.
But I kind of said that about the Truck Series, and Stewart had that happen. So
true. And one difference between the Truck Series and the Cup Series is capacity for fans.
Right.
So what's a truck race bring in? 20, 30,000 fans?
At most.
And Cup brings in 80, 100,000?
Yeah. I mean, that's
at a big difference.
Currently, yeah.
Yeah, that's. And yeah, back in the day, it was 150,000.
Yeah, it'd be nothing.
But anymore, it's, you know, pushing 80. Push like a baseball game, football game. You know, NASCAR is a much superior sport. It's a true team sport.
If you have any thoughts or comments on that, email us at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. If you feel otherwise.
That's gmail.com.
Call out the gas man there.
Yeah, feel free to call me out. I'm okay. Again, tell us if we suck, because we probably do. But, hey, we're trying something here, so just bear with us.
Right. So last week, we kind of broke down our guesstimate on Hendrick. We kind of broke down each driver, and we kind of guessed how many wins we thought they would have. Let's do that again this week, but let's do a different team. Who you want to break down?
Let's do Gibbs.
Okay.
We haven't talked about Gibbs Hurley at all in our episode, so let's go ahead and talk about him.
So let's start with, you know, probably what could be considered the top player, top contender, Bush.
Do we throw Truex into that group?
We can. I mean, there's an affiliation there. And
there's only a single car team.
Yeah, so I see why not. So
okay, we'll add him. Yeah.
But let's start with Bush. He doesn't have a win yet this year. But
Bridesmaid.
What do you see him total win-wise?
I see 4 to 5.
Four to five?
Yeah.
And I'm going to write this down. I want to keep track of this.
Yeah, please do, because I'm going to say so many people are going to have wins. I'm going to have like 45 wins out there in a 36-race schedule. So
right. We should probably keep tabs on that. So, Bush, you're saying 4-5. All
right. Right.
We'll go ahead and round out the official Gibbs team here before we move to Truex. So, sure. Hamlin?
2, max.
Think so?
Yeah, he's lost some of his luster.
Okay. Suarez?
None.
0 again this year. Yeah. Okay. Jones?
None.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen enough out of either one of those two guys to make me think otherwise. Okay. Unless it's strategy based.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Truex?
Oh, man. I say 6, 7.
6 wins. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, he's not showed any slowing down from last season. Sometimes we get, you know, that slump from one season to the other, but he's not showed that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it, I think it's always been amazing about how a season finishes and only a couple months later we start Daytona over and how it's a completely different season. You think that's so close that it would almost be a continuance mm-hmm. of the end mm-hmm. of the season and previous, but it's never like that.
Right. It's always, you know, I don't know if it's the R&D, the off time that, you know, people can try new things or just more tinkering or, you know, it's different parts or what, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, you're right. It never seems to be, no one seems to quite pick up where exactly they left off the year before, but Truex is pretty close. I'll be honest.
Where do you think, or how many hours do you think crew chiefs put in during the off season?
Oh gosh.
A week. I'd 80?
Say, oh, yeah. I was going to say 60 minimum, but 80 is probably more accurate.
Right. It kind of reminds me of coaches in NFL. I mean,
at least so. Knauss, I'd say he's probably putting in 100, is knowing how he is.
All right. I think with Gibbs, I feel like overall they're kind of underperforming for the season.
But they're going to come on.
I'm sure they will, but as of right now where they stand.
I think they're going to turn up the wick here. It's just a matter of time. But, I mean, look at Bush. I mean, we've mentioned it before, how many bridesmaids. But, I mean, he's just literally knocking on the door. It's just a matter of time.
So, let's kind of recap where we're currently at in standings. Okay. So, without looking at the list, because we do have a list in front of us, who's leading?
Bush or Truex?
Okay. It's Kyle Busch. Yeah, Kyle Busch is leading. Truex is 8 points behind him. Mm-hmm. So, pretty close. Where do you think Harvick is?
I'd say 5th.
Yeah, Harvick's 7th with 3 wins. And I think a big part of that is that penalty.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Which could have been a bogus penalty. I mean, we really... It really came on because of the fans, really, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, social media, Reddit, et cetera.
Right. And you could blame Chase Elliott for that, too.
He, right, because he visually saw it
and had a lot of chatter about it. And then right. I got picked up, too. But yeah.
So let's read off the top 5. I'll let you take over, Lugs. What's top 5 in our points?
So we got Kyle Busch coming in first, Mark Truex second, Ryan Blaney third. That's pretty cool to see him up there. You know, I don't know how many people really maybe expected him to be third in points after 6 races, but I mean, that's pretty cool in my opinion. Logano fourth, kind of the same thing there. I mean, last year, he had that one win, but it was encumbered.
It was kind of a bad, yeah, it was a bad season for Logano.
And he's, you know, he's kind of been quiet this year, but he's there, 4th in points. And then Keselowski, 5th. So, you know, Keselowski, I think he's going to get a few wins this year and obviously be a contender. But Penske's not on the level that Haas is right now with the Fords.
Right. So we're talking about how we feel that Gibbs is underperforming compared to their potential. Is that kind of what we just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where the Gibbs drivers are in points.
Well, we know Kyle's in first.
Right.
So let's see.
Truex is second.
If we're going to count him as Gibbs, okay.
Well, I mean, we just talked about him and we discussed. We might as well count him as Gibbs.
Hamlin, I'm going to say he's probably 7th.
6th.
Okay. Suarez, gosh, I don't know. I'm like a dart without feathers here. I'm just going to aim and say 12th.
22nd.
Ouch.
So that's the outlier. Okay. That's the outlier.
Jones, let's say, you know what? I think he's actually been a little more consistent, if I remember correctly. So I'm going to say he's 10th.
12th.
Oh, that's close.
So we're talking about the underperformance it gives, but 3 of their 4 cars in the top 12 in points. That's actually a little bit better than I was expecting.
Yeah. Okay.
Not too shabby. When it comes to the unexpected and the point series, one is definitely Ryan Blaney in 3rd. Mm-hmm. To me, I figured he'd be a top 10, not necessarily a mm-hmm. top 5 car. So good kudos to Ryan. You know, so, we're actually fans. He's a young millennial guy bringing some attention.
Has his own podcast, yeah.
Yeah, he does have his – he's a competitor of ours in a good way. We love – hey, Ryan, we love you. Wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Reach out to us sometime, please.
So, you know, on a trajectory of Blaney, so, you know, he came from Wood Brothers Racing last year. He had that win at Pocono. He really took that team, Wood Brothers, to a new level. Of course, he moved to Penske this year, and Paul Menard stepped into his ride, right? Menard's had some good qualifying runs, good starts.
15th in points. But, that's not bad for Menard.
But not really wowing.
He's not wowing, track, I don't think. But I think he's on the edge of being top 10 contender continuously.
Do you see him being able to get another win for Wood Brothers this year?
Not competitively, strategically, sure.
So maybe an Austin Dillon Coke 600 situation?
Sure, sure. Or even like another Daytona situation.
Drive through someone?
Okay. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, so a couple other things that I seen that I want to like kind of talk about or touch on is that you brought Paul Menard 15th points. I thought that was kind of overachieving a little bit for him. And I'm, you know, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of underachievers I want to point out that I wasn't expecting is Jimmy Johnson at 17th and Chase Elliott at 18th. I definitely would kind of expect those two to be closer to the top 10.
Well, remember, though, Chase had a penalty. He had some sort of unapproved spacer or something like that.
And he lost 25
points, I believe.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
So if you take that out of it, so where's he at now? You said 18th?
18th, yeah. If you were at 25 back in, he'd be about Paul Menard's spot in 15th, roughly.
Yeah, so. And Bowman's right there in 14th, so.
Yeah. Right. And two surprises on the positive that I like. Chris Buescher, Michael McDowell. Where do you think they are in points?
In my honest opinion, I'll say 25th and 26th, but I don't know.
24th and 25th.
Hey!
Yeah, so close. But you know what? I feel like there are 30th place cars, and they... Well, I would say usually 30th place cars, but I guess we can't, you know, field 37 cars in a race anymore. Yeah, yeah. So I guess maybe that's kind of impacting this a little bit. But both those guys, I feel like they're kind of standing out a little bit and doing a decent job. I like the underdog kind of coming up a little bit and doing, you know, do something good.
Yeah, I agree.
So let me look on my list here and see where Casey Kane's at with him switching to Levine Family Racing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Looks like Kane's at 27th. I had a little higher expectations. I know it's a small team. But I know he was kind of pushing it hard to be an actual, you know, top 15 type of car and not a start and park kind of car.
Yeah, but I mean, also, he's six races into a new team. I can't say that I really fault them being 27th in the points, you know. We'll see,
sure.
We'll see what happens there,
right,
but
right.
I feel like they got shaky knees and need to get a little bit better footing. And we'll see what happens there. Again, six races in. He's with a new team, new driver. You know, probably new crew chief, I'm assuming. I don't know if Kenny Francis or who followed him over there or what the situation was there. Again, you're the statistician. Maybe you can tell me, but...
I don't know, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't look up everything. I can't remember everything either,
yeah.
So
but again, it's... I'd say, for me, my opinion, he's on par with kind of what I expected, so...
Okay, so let's start wrapping this baby up because I know the fans are getting tired of listening to our...
I got a question for you.
...nasty voices. Yes, sir.
All right, so I want to get it out there now and call it, make some projections. Year end, give me your final four championship contenders at Homestead.
I think Harvick's going to win the championship, so obviously Harvick.
Okay.
I think Truex is going to be contending with the most wins for the season, so Truex number two.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle's pushing the edge, and he's been consistently up front.
Bush?
Yes, Kyle Busch. Third. My last one, I'm on the edge a little bit. I'm leaning towards Keselowski.
Keselowski, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Once again, no Chevys in the top four going to Homestead.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and agree with three of your four. It's funny, I had these written down before we even started this podcast. So, Bush, Harvick, Truex, I agree with, although I'm not saying who my championship winner is.
Why, are you scared?
I'm going to say that Harvick's got just as good a shot, obviously, as the others, but my fourth is different. I'm going to say that it's...
Let me guess, Blaney?
Nope, although it very well could be. It was between Larson and Chase for me. I think Chevy will get one. I think they'll get a start. You know, someone, a contender in that top four for the championship. I think Chase will come on, man. I think he's going to be the banner team for Hendrick with the Camaro. I think he's going to turn it on. I think he's going to win some stages. I think those points will help carry him to that final round. I just don't know. Larson's been pretty consistent this year, but he's not really to the level he was last year. And I mean, it's a new car, right? Do you think Larson?
I don't think any of the Chevys are to what they were last year.
No, but Larson, arguably, is the best Chevy, right? So, where do you see? Let me ask you this: Larson kind of fell apart in the championship last year.
Yeah, he did.
Had like I don't know, a couple of wrecks, a couple engines.
Right. It was pretty disappointing. Right.
You see him getting farther this year?
No.
No?
I don't.
Because of the car?
I see Larson barely making the chase.
Really?
Yeah. Why? He's been, to me this season, he's been underperforming compared to last season. I think his downside last year affected him mentally a little bit.
Falling apart a little bit there, yeah, in the championship.
Because that was a big kick last year.
Yeah, no. And there were some comments. If you go back and listen to some of the audio from some of those races where he had issues, it did sound like, you know, he had just kind of given up. I'm pretty confident there was one time it kind of sounded like he put the car in the wall on purpose to kind of finish it off. He had some sort of incident prior to that, and it sounded by the audio in that race, he just kind of was like done with it. So I kind of agree with that statement, but you know, I think he'll make the chase. I think he'll make he'll make the top eight, but whether he goes on to that final round of four, I think that's where I'm scratching my head. I think I'm going to go with Chase on that last spot.
Yeah, that's not a bad, you know, guesstimate. I think, Larson, like I said, I think something's mentally impacting him a little bit. He's not where he was now.
But heck, won four races last year.
I know. That being said, if he was to taste victory lane once towards the beginning of the season, he'll completely turn the rest of the season around. He needs that. He needs that taste. And I think then he'll be contending for the top eight, top four.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get that in the beginning of the season, let's say by race 16 halfway through the season, then I think it's maybe over for him.
Which, you know, his bread and butter is the 2 mile tracks, Michigan Auto Club, which
later in the season there's a nice little chunk of those. So
what's that?
So later in the season there's a nice chunk of those.
Yeah, exactly. So when we come to Michigan, I think he swept that last year. So I think he'll really be able to contend there and really show maybe what they've got put together at that point, maybe, and see how it shakes out.
Yeah. I say again, I think it's a fair assessment. We'll just see how it shakes out. You got it documented so we can hold each other accountable?
Yep, I just wrote it down. So you're saying Harvick is our 2018 championship winner?
Yes.
Who do you think I'm going to pick out of my four?
Bush.
I think it's hard to count against him.
Am I right? Sounds like I'm right.
That is who I'm going to go with this year. I'm not saying I want that to happen, but I think that...
But we're realists, right?
He was second last year to Truex.
Right.
He gave it his all. He raced clean. Truex just deserved it last year, in my opinion. And
I think, once again, a very popular win.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who follow Truex based on the history with Dale Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of fans, Dale Jr. Well, fans.
And not only that, but, you know, his personal issues and what him and Sherry are going through. So, it's just a good ending to that season. I mean, he had the most wins, I think, last year, and how many stages he won and everything. It was just fitting to where...
He definitely embraced the stage wins. I mean, that really made a huge impact for him.
Yeah, so... But this year, I think Bush is going to rebound. You know, it's going to be a dogfight, and I'm more than ready and excited for it. But I think Bush is going to rebound this year, and it's going to be swapped. Truex will be second this time, and Bush will be bringing home his second championship.
Okay, we'll see. So, fans, thank you for listening. Next week is an off week for us, not for us, but for NASCAR itself. Next week, we're going to bring you a top 10. We haven't figured out what's going to be top 10 yet, but I tell you right now, we are super stoked about it. It's going to be his top 10 versus mine based on whatever criteria we set. It's a surprise for you next week, but it will be very good. I think it's going to be our best episode ever, the whole three to choose from. So, again, fans, thank you for listening. Please reach out to us, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on Stitcher, iTunes, subscribe, like us.
Let us know what you think of this episode. Let us know what your top four are. Who do you think is going to be the top four contending for that championship? Let us know what you want to see as our top 10 list next week. Maybe we can work that in there too. But please reach out to us. Let us know what you think of this episode. Gasman, any final thoughts?
Just fans, please have some chatter up on our Facebook, etc. Like I said, we want to get you guys involved as much as we can. And wreckingandracing.com is our website. Please check it out. You can subscribe, etc. As little as $1 a month, you can subscribe and get some benefits from that. So please, wreckingandracing.com, wreckingandracing@gmail.com to email us with any kind of topics that you think we should talk about, or just to tell us we suck, because we know we do, but we try. Other than that, fans, our pit crew, you guys have a great day.
The checkered flag has waved on this episode. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. Also, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. From Lugs and the Gas Man, we thank you for listening.